The reason you're here is not to talk golf, but commissioners, so we'll do that. I noticed as a Board of Equalization that you discussed and considered an offer to confess judgment in a case before the Nebraska Tax Equalization and Review Commission. I thought that might deserve a little word or two.
Yeah, so this is just part of the process. Every year we have a few property owners that may not feel that the decision that the Board of Equalization makes is fair in their opinion, and that's their prerogative, and so they have the ability mm-hmm. to go to the Tax Equalization and Review Commission and think of like it's a body that adjudicates and makes the ultimate decision, okay? And so with this particular property owner, we came to terms. Most of these cases, they settle outside of that commission, and this is one of those times in this process that allows us to go ahead and settle. And mm-hmm. a little bit more investigation. They came down a little bit from, or we came down a little bit from what we thought that the property was equalized at, and they came up, and we met in some happy ground. And so this was just a formality to...
So does the Board of Commissioners, are you kind of mediators in this between the Tax Equalization or Review Commission, or are you actually considered that commission?
Well, we are the local body that sets the property tax levy and the valuations for properties.
Okay.
But this is their route. If they don't agree with us, they have an avenue to go to refute
okay.
that.
So you kind of, okay, so you come to an agreement by basically you adjust if you feel like it needs to be brought down, and it's kind of like you try to meet in the middle someplace.
Correct.
Basically.
Correct. Yeah.
You acknowledge that maybe they, you know, maybe that what the figure they're looking at might be a little too low, but maybe you can come down a little bit and meet them.
Correct, and that's what happened in this particular
okay.
instance. So
good. About how many do you average of those per year, would you say that you deal with people protesting their valuation?
Protesting?
Yeah.
In the hundreds. I think this last year we had about 600, the year before 800.
That's a
and
lot.
And so we go through every single one of them during the month of June.
June's the big month.
The Board of Commissioners, sitting as the Board of Equalization, we hear every single one of them.
That probably takes some time, I'm guessing. Then
it does.
You kind of gear up on your June meetings for a little extra time.
We have many, many, many meetings during the month of June.
All right. And just a few outside of that, so you're kind of like, one's not bad compared to what you know is
exactly.
coming up next month, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so then you come back after meeting as a Board of Equalization, you recess and reconvene as the Board of Commissioners, and you started off with a presentation by Six Regions One Nebraska. First of all, what is Six Regions One? I've never heard
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, so Six Regions One Nebraska, it's an initiative that Governor Pillen started last year. We've been going about a year. And essentially, the state is divided into the community college regions, and mm-hmm. there's strong collaboration between the Nebraska Chamber of Commerce, the Nebraska Department of Economic Development, the community colleges themselves, and multiple stakeholders throughout that particular region, whether they be community leaders, business leaders, philanthropic leaders. And so we came together early on last year when the governor rolled this out, and it was the meeting of the minds on how do we take our communities and kind of taking a step back. Each community is vibrant. Each community has an identity, but oftentimes throughout particularly greater Nebraska, we find ourselves strapped for resources when it comes to economic growth. We find ourselves competing against each other. And so the whole premise of this initiative is how do we come together as a region, think on a bigger scale, pool our resources together in a collaborative effort to really encourage growth, encourage vibrant communities, fine-tune our workforce, address housing issues. And so that's really what we did at the outset last year. I'm privileged to be a stakeholder for our region, along with many, many other people. And one of the things that we're trying to tackle is workforce housing. And so we've been working on that project here in this region pretty extensively. We're getting close to having a workforce housing study for all the communities within the region completed. And that will really assist, particularly in our area here in Lincoln County. We're getting ready to experience tremendous economic growth. Sustainable beef is opening. We're going to have more people moving in. And we don't have, we've made great strides. We've got a lot of things that have happened over the past several years as far as new units being opened up with housing and apartments, but we have a long ways to go. And it's one of those things that, in my personal opinion, it keeps me up at night thinking about the larger scale of the issues. Sure. We have to have a place to put people when they do come to our community to live and work and raise their families. So
is our region, is it just Lincoln County, or does it include surrounding?
It's the Mid Plains Community College region, so it's all the way up about Valentine, the South Dakota border, the way down to McCook.
Wow, that's a large area.
Over to Benkelman, Keith County, very large area. So.
What does it have a name for the region? North Platte is in, or
I honestly, off the top of my head, I don't know. It's West Central, Nebraska region. It's a great opportunity for people from all parts of the region to come together and work together.
So then do you actually have meetings with leaders of other towns in the region?
So Emily Worrell is the coordinator for Six Regions, One Nebraska. She does a fantastic job. We typically meet on a quarterly basis. We have a few different task force or cohorts that the stakeholders kind of divided into. And we have meetings on a fairly regular basis. So working to keep the ball moving.
Okay. Good to know about that. And the next item was discussing and consider authorizing the chair to sign a proclamation recognizing Peace Officer Memorial Day for this Thursday, May 15th.
Yes. So May 15th, our law enforcement community is so important, so vital, and the men and women that stand up and serve and put themselves in harm's way on a daily basis to keep our community safe. I can't give them enough thanks, and this was just a very small gesture by the Lincoln County Board in declaring May 15th as Peace Officer Memorial Day. So this goes out to those that have taken that oath and stood on the line, that thin blue line, and those that unfortunately are no longer with us because of that. And just honoring them, giving them thanks, and in my opinion, it doesn't do enough. We should be doing that every day. But it was a day that we decided we wanted to just set aside and recognize all those men and women that fill that gap and fill that need for our community. So
We had Don Anderson on to talk about the Light Up Lincoln County this week, National Police Week, and the memorial services coming up tomorrow out at the Law Enforcement Memorial.
Yep.
There, Iron Horse Lake. So encourage people to take part in that. And as you said, we don't do enough, but at least we're recognizing, we're saying we appreciate all you do. We need to do it more often. And definitely go out of our way to thank our law enforcement, because really, when it comes right down to it, we don't know probably even a hundredth of what they run into and what they do. And then you hear a story like what happened over in Dawson County on the weekend. It's just like, even things like that. I mean, could you imagine having to be the officer
the responding
on the scene? You'll never get those images out of your
head. The things that they
experience
on a regular basis and keep quiet. It's just
you need to support them in every way possible. 100%. For sure. So you went on, discussed and considered lighting on the south side of the original courthouse building. This will be a maintenance issue, right?
Yeah, a maintenance issue. It's kind of a safety issue. Our building and grounds director brought this forward. He'd like to see some additional lighting on some of the sidewalk paths that we have. It gets fairly dark. There's not a whole lot of lighting on that side of the building. Mm-hmm. The annex side, the newer side, has a lot of down lighting. You can see very clearly at night. We have employees that come in early in the morning, well before the sun comes up. Right. We have people that, are downtown in the evenings. And so we're exploring what does a potential solution look like. And there's a little bit more information that we need to gather. I think it's important for all of us commissioners to make sure that whatever we do decide, that we keep it time period specific and mm-hmm. pay homage to the original courthouse as far as the architecture is concerned. So
sure.
There's a lot more work to do. We've asked the building and grounds supervisor to look at maybe some historical preservation grants that are out there to potentially help fund, any additional lighting that we decide to do.
It's not cheap, is it?
It is not cheap.
To light a building to the way you need it to be, to get enough coverage, right, to make it safe.
Particularly a building such as the Lincoln County Courthouse. So, yeah. So we'll see what our building and grounds supervisor comes back with. I'm sure we'll have more dialogue on that. But
okay. To start anyway, Allo Communications came and they talked about a broadband expansion project here in the county.
Yep. So the BEAD program, the state of Nebraska has gotten significant amount of money from the federal government to help improve and expand broadband access, high-speed internet, right. and particularly in rural areas. I think most people would understand but still be shocked at the amount of underserved and unserved houses and citizens throughout Lincoln County alone when it comes to internet access and that connectivity mm-hmm. that is so vital these days to be able to work and operate in our society. And so we've had numerous conversations over the past several months, different providers coming in and talking about how they're planning on applying for some of this funding to expand mm-hmm. Their services into those areas. And we've decided that, that Allo Communications, they're a worthwhile entity, and we went ahead and provided them a letter of support in their process to seeking some of that funding. So mm-hmm. They had a well laid out plan on how they want to expand services, particularly in the surrounding areas outside of North Platte. And get coverage to those that are unserved and underserved.
So. Do you have to pick just one, or can you pick multiple?
We have provided letters of support for several entities already, and I'm sure that we'll have more.
And then, do the commissioners make a final decision on it, or is it just a recommendation?
This will be through the BEAD office at the state level. So,
you just provide a recommendation.
Correct.
You give them a list of which entities you think would do a good
job. In our
area,
this is who we'd like to see participating in that program. And
they make the final determination.
They end up making the final determination, yes.
Okay, gotcha. You discussed and considered entering into a property management agreement with the Nebraska International Port of the Plains. You and Joe are the liaisons with this group, the local liaisons. And tell us what you discussed.
So this was just a discussion item. We did not take any action. Mm-hmm. I anticipate we'll probably take action next Monday. But one of the challenges that we've had, the county donated a significant sum of money to end up purchasing the former Greenbrier property out there that has the spur and that facility on it, with the intention that it was always going to be the headquarters facility for the Nebraska International Port of the Plains, the body that we installed a few years ago. And so we've gone through the lengthy process through the Department of Economic Development. We finally have that parcel under county ownership. That's no longer under the chamber's ownership. Okay. And so the next step in the process is how do we appropriately and legally authorize that body, the Port of the Plains, Board of Directors, to operate out there. To control and do what they need to do as far as improvements. And they're working on the drop and pull yard and the transloading facility, getting that project going. There's a tenant that's looking at some space out there on a temporary basis, and we just need to have a mechanism in place that, that can facilitate all of that activity. And so we've looked at lease and lease options in the past. It didn't make sense until we had ownership. And I think the direction that both of those bodies, both our Board of Commissioners and the Board of Directors for the Port Authority are thinking about going, there's obviously going to be more discussion and decision-making in it, is a management type agreement to where the county will have, you know, full control over the building and will utilize the Board of Directors of the Port Authority to manage that facility. It solves a couple different issues from a revenue standpoint. They don't have the drop and pull and the transload facility open. There's no businesses operating out there. They don't have the revenue coming in to necessarily pay a lease agreement to the county. But as business does start occurring out there and things start transacting and they do start getting revenue, this gives us a mechanism to where the county can start getting some revenue recouped to offset what we have expended on purchasing mm-hmm. that property. So overall, I think in the discussion yesterday, we offered up some tidbits of things that we'd like to see in that agreement. We had a draft presented to us. There's going to be some edits made. And that we'll take action on that. I anticipate next Monday, and that'll go before their body next Monday afternoon for mm-hmm. them to discuss and consider and make any effort, any edits that they want to make and get right. that back to us. So
is this all? And I'm still trying to learn about what all this encompasses. Is this all connected with the railroad coming through, or so, I mean, is this going to be like a business development? Or?
Yeah, so it's a unique thing. Back in about 5 years ago, we worked hard to get the Municipal Inland Port Authority Act passed in the state of Nebraska, and it authorized 5 inland ports. New to the state, new concept, not new to our society as a whole.
Inland meaning away from water, basically?
Correct, or? Yes. Okay. So mm-hmm. For a generation, well over 75 mm-hmm. years, we haven't had meaningful access to rail when it comes to enticing new industry in and business in to build and have that as an asset for their logistics. This bill that was passed about 5 years ago, working in cooperation with the railroad, they've been great to work with. They're supportive of what we're doing. That their tune has changed from what we've experienced over the past 75 years prior. And they're wanting to allow us to have access to the rail line. And so this Port Authority, it will help facilitate some of that movement. So as we have industry come in and build on the line tangentially to the main line, this body will be able to facilitate getting those cars, that freight to them. It will help facilitate trade internationally, domestically.
So you're looking to attract businesses that really rely on railroad transport then?
Rely on railroad transport, yes. Yeah. The great thing about our area is we're kind of a nexus for transportation. We have the world's largest rail yard. We have amazing infrastructure when it comes to interstate and highway. We've got a world-class airport asset right. out there at Liebert Field.
Right.
And how do we bring that all together and harness it to our advantage? That's really what we're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of entities that do business internationally. When you think about commodities and agriculture, how do we facilitate that? How do we bring value-added yeah. ag that can do business internationally to our area? This is what we're trying to accomplish.
And do you think most people would be shocked, but what is in all the rail cars these days? I think we know about coal.
Mind
we hear
blown.
About that, yeah. but you know then. The other things.
I mean, literally everything can be transported on rail, and they yeah. do it every day.
And I think we have the misconception a lot of times that everything else is by trucks or by airplanes to get places now. But it's there's still tons of stuff transported on a railroad line.
It's really the cheapest form of transporting goods.
Uh-huh.
So.
Pretty reliable too.
Very, very reliable, and we're trying.
They don't get blown off very often, except for a few weeks ago. They had a storm up in the Hyannis-Ashby area, so it blew, came through and just blew them off. But that doesn't happen very often.
So. It happens, yeah. And we've had to deal with it here in Lincoln County on numerous occasions. But it's still a very reliable and safe mode of transportation, and it doesn't get that product, that material to its end destination necessarily. Yeah. But we have trucking that can.
That's true.
And so how do we bring it all together?
Does the heavy lifting and then the trucks finish it.
Exactly.
Right, to get it to the
that last mile
location. Yeah. Anything else from the committee reports at the end of the meeting or anything else you think folks would be interested in from the meeting yesterday?
No, I just pretty typical meeting. I mean, we had some good discussions, some good agenda items on. We're going to have a lot more here in the coming weeks. That I'm excited about, but I encourage people, come to our meetings every Monday at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. If you can't make the meeting, we understand that. That's one of the chief reasons why we went to live streaming, and we archive those meetings online. So
I've checked that out.
I encourage people to go back and watch it at your leisure. Pay attention to what we're doing. We're doing a lot of really good things for the larger community here in Lincoln County, trying to anyway. And it's incumbent upon you to get involved. And, if you have thoughts or questions or concerns, don't hesitate to reach out to any one of us. Reach out to me. I give out my cell phone, 308-660-6049. If you have questions about what's going on, you'd like to see something maybe a little bit different, or you have an idea, I welcome them all.
Okay. So. And what's your email?
So I'll give him my county email. Okay. That's Bruns CD at LincolnCountyNE.gov.
Okay. Well, Chris Bruns on the Board of Commissioners, Lincoln County Board of Commissioners, has been our guest this morning. We appreciate you coming in, and you expect to have the vote on that port next week, you said?
Yeah, that's what we anticipate.
A good opportunity there, and then that'll just be another step forward, right?
Yep, moving forward.
Sounds great. Appreciate your time. You have a great day.
Corey, okay. My pleasure. Take
All
care.
Right.